Welcome back to the book of Exodus on Through the Word. Chapter 26 today, and we continue through the building of the tabernacle. Back with us today is Jonathan Ferguson.
Great to be here, Chris, but really, shouldn't I be the one kind of welcoming you to the studio?
Why is that?
Well, aren't you going to tell him? You know, the whole switcheroo.
Oh, that's right. Starting today, Pastor Jonathan's taking the lead on the book of Exodus, taking over during the fun part about the tabernacle.
Whoa there, cowboy. You asked me to take over here. Something about this would be a great time to switch, major theme change, you know.
I vaguely recall that. I'll remember not to blame you for the switch in the future.
And I'll remember not to write you out of the script for the rest of the book.
Anyways, Exodus chapter 26, and today we are going to see the instructions for building the tabernacle itself. Remember, the tabernacle is basically a large tent where God promises he will meet with the people of Israel. Beginning at verse 1, make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim woven into them by a skilled worker.
Now the tent consisted of 10 curtains of linen with beautiful images of cherubim woven throughout the fabric. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle is a picture of the throne of heaven. Cherubim are angelic beings found in other passages of the Bible describing the throne of God, such as Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, and Revelation 4.
Right. And since the tabernacle is in many ways a picture of heaven itself, the inside of the tabernacle would have images of angels on the walls and ceiling. When the priests would enter, as they approached the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, it was like a small glimpse of heaven and a reminder that they were approaching the throne of God.
Remember, God had promised that he would meet with Israel from between the two cherubim on the mercy seat. It was the closest thing he had to a throne on earth. But even there, it was just a foretaste, a shadow of the greater throne that we will all stand before one day.
Now, on the outside of the tent, over the finely woven linen, was a layer of thicker goat wool, then two more layers of leather, one ram skin, the other sea cow skins. This thing was insulated and well protected from the elements. Whether sand and sun or cold and rain, the tabernacle would be a place of refuge and peace.
No tent can stand on its own. It's going to need some tent poles. And this tent had some of the finest poles ever made for a tent. Verse 15. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with two projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle and make 40 silver bases to go under them, two bases for each frame, one under each projection. Now, acacia wood is a very strong, durable wood and was found throughout the desert. But look what these tent poles were placed in, silver bases.
This is some high-class tent gear. No simple canvas tent with fiberglass poles here. The wood frames and even the crossbars that held the roof up were pretty fancy. Verse 29, overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also overlay the crossbars with gold.
Now that's gold-covered tent poles, but it's not about glamping. This is God's dwelling place, and each material chosen has a significance and a symbolism. We'll go over those when the tabernacle actually gets built. For now, Moses is reminded again to follow the pattern God has given to him. Verse 30, set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Now God had given Moses a set of blueprints, so he knew exactly how everything should look, even if he didn't write it all down for us in Exodus. And man, I wish he would have. I mean, what does a cherub even look like? Moses, come on, you could have been a little more descriptive here.
Moses is then given instructions for the creation of a couple of curtains, one inside the tent and one for the door. The one inside would separate the tent into two rooms, the holy place and the most holy place. The table and lampstand that we read about yesterday would be in the outer room, the holy place. Past the curtain was the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat were placed.
And what is interesting about these curtains was that the inside curtain, the dividing wall, was covered in cherubim. But the outside curtain, the one that was to be used as a door for the tabernacle, had no cherubim. All this fine handiwork and craftsmanship went into the creation of this beautiful tent of the Lord. And then it was covered in plain leather. While the curtain at the door may have been beautifully woven, it didn't have the beauty of the inner linen curtains.
I've thought about that before. there are these beautiful pieces of furniture, the ark, the carvings on the table, the lampstand of pure gold. Why were they hidden inside? And the beautiful linens, to simply be covered in manatee skin? Plain gray leather doesn't seem like it would be an awe-inspiring facade for the very dwelling place of God.
You're right. There was nothing fancy to the exterior of the tabernacle, just as there will be nothing fancy to the courtyard surrounding it. But hidden on the inside, well, that's a different story. There's a rich beauty inside. And most interestingly of all, this beauty was hidden from the eyes of most people. Only a few priests ever saw the beauty within the tabernacle.
One reason for this is seen in Israel's history. The nation of Israel had a way of turning simple worship of God into idolatry. In just a few chapters, Israel makes a golden calf to worship. Just weeks after hearing God's voice boom out that there should be no carved images made.
Right. And later there's the incident of the bronze serpent in Numbers 21. The people were being bitten by poisonous snakes, and Moses was told to lift up a bronze serpent on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten by a snake could look up to the serpent and live. Jesus later described the serpent as a picture of himself. But Israel took that bronze serpent, and instead of it being a tool pointing people to God, it became an idol, the very thing being worshipped by Israel.
So God has these objects placed inside a plain tent out of sight of the average Israelite, so that they would not become objects of idolatry.
But there's another reason for these objects being hidden. In Hebrews 11, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." In both the Old and the New Covenant, God saves people on the basis of faith. God said that he would dwell with Israel from between the two cherubim on the mercy seat. If the ark was visible to the world, who would need faith to believe God? God called the nation of Israel to believe he was present with them, to believe that the Ark of the Covenant was his throne.
It's also important to see the picture of Christ in the tabernacle. We'll discuss this idea more in future chapters of Exodus, but for now, know that the tabernacle is a type, a foreshadowing of Jesus. Philippians 2 says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." The tabernacle held all this beauty and the very presence of God, but was wrapped in plain leather, giving it a very ordinary appearance.
And in the same way, Jesus contained all the fullness of God, but took on the very nature and form of a man. There wasn't anything special about Jesus' human body. Now, despite all the medieval art, Jesus didn't walk around with a glowing halo. Isaiah 53 puts it like this: "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. The fullness of God wrapped in the skin of man."
We'll dive into this more later in Exodus. But for now, read Exodus 26 today and join us tomorrow for chapter 27 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.